It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We're talking all things Atlanta sports and beyond. This is The Morning Shift.
Make some noise!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A lot of college football to get into. Welcome back to The Morning Shift. Triple in for Tiffany. But before, got to mention this. The Steelers have a starting quarterback.
Ooh, who is it?
Is it Justin Fields? No.
Neil O'Donnell.
It's Russell Wilson. Neil O'Donnell with... Neil O'Donnell had no lips.
Really?
No lips.
Did he need the injections?
It just went chin to nose?
It just went chin to nose.
Free chin to nose?
That'd be hard to call for the ball.
Look up Neil O'Donnell, no lips.
Now I want to relook at Neil O'Donnell. He had a beard at one point, didn't
Mark
he?
Mark Malone is going to be the starting quarterback.
Mark Malone, that's a good pull. That is a good pull. I mean, you had to top me with the with that.
It's the old man,
Hold on, I'm looking at him.
Is it Herbert on Family Guy? Y'all know who I'm talking about, the old man.
Oh, he has lips here, but I think he's making, like, the duck face.
He's like trying to
an original duck face.
Herbert on Family Guy, man. That's who I'm thinking of right now, speaking of no lips.
Y'all hey, Chris, what you doing?
Yeah, that's dude.
You do a creepy old man voice very Dylan.
Well, his name's Herbert because it rhymes sort of with something.
Bubby Brister is a starting quarterback for the Steelers on week from Sunday.
In all seriousness, are you surprised that Russell Wilson got the nod? I personally am not at all in any way.
Add the veteran thing.
What?
And the track record. I mean, yeah. I mean, clearly Justin Fields is intriguing with the athleticism and all the things. And you know what, Mike Tomlin. Let's hear from Mike Tomlin. Let's do track 11. Why don't we?
Track 11.
I met with both quarterbacks here just a few minutes ago after practice, and I informed them that Russ is QB1 going into week one. It was a difficult decision, but not difficult in a negative way, to be quite honest with you. It was difficult in a positive way. The decision was difficult because of what they're capable of doing. The decision was difficult because of how they have conducted themselves, as opposed to the things that they fall short in terms of capabilities or negative conduct.
I here's what my first thought was when he announced this. Whichever one it would have been is probably not the same guy that's going to be there in week 10. Like, as sad as that is, that was my first thing.
I
was like, you know what? Good for Justin Fields. He won't have to play the first couple months, and then he'll get to take over midway through the season when Russell Wilson isn't good. And it's not a knock on Russell Wilson. I feel like that would have been the exact same way the other way around, because I do not think that this offense is in a position to succeed with either one at quarterback. So it's not like they're walking into some great situation here.
Right. Well, they fully intend on weaponizing Justin Fields, though.
You know, just getting to know Justin's capabilities, man, we like it. I know you guys might have some questions about the potential of package football, given his skill set, and that's certainly on the table. But I'm not going to get into many details regarding that or things of that nature, because it doesn't help us from a competitive advantage standpoint. But make no mistake, his talent, his unique talent, as it pertains to mobility, is something that we're open to weaponizing, although I have acknowledged that Russ is QB1.
So what he's saying is Arthur already drew up the Justin Fields goal line package speed sweep coming out of the slot.
Right, like right.
Johnny Washington.
Is he going to do the play? Is he going to do the play? What about the play that they did in Chicago where, because didn't Heineke start in Chicago, and then you had the play where you bring Desmond in, and it's like it's the reverse, and then they're going to pitch it to him, but then they fumble the pitch, and like all that.
I still don't think they were actually going to pitch it. I know that we went back and forth. Do you remember that? We went back and forth. I was like, I still think it was a fake pitch.
And also, so is that going to be the play that they bring us and that we get to see with the Justin Fields package? I think that Russell Wilson won the job because that fits more of what Arthur Smith's offense wants to do. I also think that you got to be careful doing all this package stuff because you just, in the end of the day, you kind of end up upsetting the apple cart at times. I don't think I heard somebody talking the other day, gimmicks don't work. I don't know who it was. Gimmicks don't work in the NFL. I think it may have been a mistake, and gimmicks don't work in the NFL. You can have packages and stuff, but the gimmick thing
once in a while, but it seems like 85-90% of the time they don't work.
And if you start putting packages in for Justin Fields, it tells me what you think of Justin Fields, that you think he's a better athlete than he is a quarterback. And if he's a better athlete than he is a quarterback, he won't be playing quarterback in the NFL for long.
No, I'm with you. I think gimmicks based around speed usually don't work. Gimmicks based around power and angles will work.
Yep. That's, or misdirection,
you know, the wildcat formation, things like that. But when it's just based around speed or things like that, it just doesn't ever come to fruition.
All right, Taylor Heinicke traded to the Los Angeles Chargers. What is it for? Conditional
six-round pick. Yeah, okay. I think it has to do with playing time and that kind of stuff, which is,
sounds like a good situation for him, though.
He's your third quarterback. You got a six-round pick. You lost a fifth to Minnesota or in the tampering thing when the league came down. Okay, I'll take it. That's fine. I think it's the best scenario for both parties, and including throw a third one in, be the Chargers as well.
Yeah, we kind of talked about it when Malik Willis was dealt. It was like, what is that? What the market is right now? And you, obviously, you think a little bit more of Taylor Heinicke than you do of Malik Willis at this point in their
career.
With all
due respect, you better be careful. You might lose a mafia member now.
Well, Malik Willis, man, was he a Roswell? So there you go.
All right, we'll get to more NFL when we go in the huddle. But I want to get to the college football season is upon us. North Dakota State, of course, and Colorado. If Colorado loses this game tonight, oh, good Lord. The media will declare a jihad on Deion Sanders. They're already wanting to.
I don't think so. I think you get a pass on this one because North Dakota State is such a well-respected program. I think if you're Colorado and you and I need to look at their schedule and see who else they play, but there's way worse games that you can lose if you're Colorado than North Dakota State.
I think the socials.
I think at this point, though, the socials.
The socials will definitely declare war.
Well, he just won't take questions from them.
Well, he already does anyways, right? I mean, he said, remember, it was something he was getting in an argument with on Twitter, and he was like, I got time today, for something he had going on today.
I think
he loves the media when things are going well. He doesn't like it when things aren't good. He's thin-skinned. That's just what it boils down to.
He's always similar to a politician. You're against me when you say something bad against me, but the rest of the time you're good. I think
great theater, though. I love every second of it.
Colorado State might be the game. If they lost to Colorado State, they're at Colorado State on the 14th. If you lose that game.
You remember how physical that game was last year between them?
That was a slugfest.
Man.
And that was where Colorado State's head coach kind of called him out.
Yeah. Well, that's my point. A lot of trash talk. You're Colorado. You think you're better than Colorado State. You should be better. If they lose that game, if you lose to North Dakota State and then you turn around and Nebraska is we don't know what Nebraska is, but then, that's a flip of the coin, really, to me, with Dylan Raiola playing quarterback. And then you lose to Colorado State.
Looking like Patrick Mahomes. Look, that's
good
weird,
old-fashioned rivalry, though.
Yeah, he's a
Colorado-Nebraska.
It used to be a day after Thanksgiving game we saw for years, remember?
Of course, we got Georgia-Clemson. Why isn't this game at Athens at 8 o'clock rather than noon at Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
I was going to say, it's not the location, it's the time.
Yeah.
It's a location, too. These games should be on campus. I understand the financial realities. I've said it 1,000 times. But
I would trade this one being in a neutral site for one of the, for playoff home games on campus, which is what we'll get this year. So
I want both. All.
Well, I'll say this much, too. Alabama is going to Wisconsin, I think, in week three, which would be awesome. But it's a noon game. I'm like, dude, that's, what a missed opportunity. Kent Randall and the jump around, everything else that would have been in prime time. No, you're at noon, and nobody will have a good buzz going yet.
I think Camp Randall could be a college bucket list college football destination.
Right? Absolutely.
Are you kidding me?
Absolutely. There's about four or five in the Big Ten that I would, Happy Valley, the Horseshoe,
Big House,
Camp Randall, the Big House. right off the, I would actually like to go. It's going to sound off the beaten path. I'd like to go to see a game at Iowa to see that tradition they do with the hospital, the Children's Hospital.
Great, yeah.
I'd love to do that one as well.
I'll tell you this much. As a guy who used to take pride in the physical brand of football Alabama played, that's going to be a measuring stick in week three for Kalen DeBoer, what that program looks like right now. You're going to get punched in the face at some point up there in Wisconsin.
All right, Clemson. You don't hear anything about Clemson anymore, do you?
Dabo's old news.
Yeah, I was going to say, unless it's about Dabo's lack of portal, portal.
What do they have for Georgia? Do they have anything for Georgia?
You're right. Unless it's negative news about Dabo, you don't hear about Dabo and Clemson. I don't know, because Clemson's a team, Rob, to your point, that struggled. They have struggled in the trenches for three, four, what was it, Trevor Lawrence's last year and on. They've struggled in the trenches. Have they righted the ship there? Because that's where it comes down to playing a team like Georgia.
The depth
is one thing, but if you can't win up front against them, you have no chance.
They are 13-point underdog. That's their largest spread as an underdog since 2012.
Was that Taj Boyd? Might have been. Back in 2012?
12?
I think it would have been.
Yeah.
All the years run together for me.
Yeah, because Deshaun wasn't there.
He was 15. 14, 15.
16, I think, was his first year, right?
No, they played Bam and the Natty in 15, so.
Oh.
I was there.
But I don't remember him being in that game.
Yeah.
I got to think. I don't know. I got to check Deshaun Watson's years. But.
All right, let's get to the preliminary score of Florida-Miami is 62 million to 25 million. 62 million is Mario Cristobal's buyout, 25 million for Billy Napier. And get this, Squid. If Florida doesn't win seven games this year, this can be the first time since the 40s where they've gone three consecutive years without winning at least seven games. Who's under more pressure, Cristobal or Napier?
Cristobal.
Cristobal by a
mile. Cristobal.
I think so, too.
Because he was the golden goose down there for years. I know a Miami fan that's in the radio business very well, and he's been clamoring for Cristobal for years. So he was the golden goose, and I think he's an alum from there. The Napier thing, I was reading an interesting article the other day about Napier, and it was basically that, hey, you know what? Billy Napier might have a fourth year no matter what down here, because there's a lot of people involved in the program that don't feel like buying out another coach after, you know, this early into the tenure is the right thing to do. A lot of people in the program realized how far off the beaten path they had gotten, whether it was facilities or just with the recruiting issue, and not to mention, they're going to spend a crap ton of money buying out not just coaches, but the GM, the NIL stuff, like all of these
players?
Recruiting people, players as well. Well, I think players might be a little. Do players have buyouts?
I think they will
contracts?
Eventually. I don't know if they do right now. I think they will eventually.
Well, that cartel money will take care of Mario Cristobal. $62 million. That's car ashtray money for them.
Who do you like in this game, though?
I like Florida.
I sneakily like Florida, too, because I just don't.
This is before the rigors of the schedule, opening game in the swamp.
Yeah, they've played well under Billy. I know they lost last year to Utah to start the season, but you go back to year one, they beat Utah at home in a close game.
Right.
They've played well under Billy in these early in the season. They do tend to fold late in the season. You're right. I think Deshaun's first year was 14.
Is that a 330? Florida?
Yeah, it's the 330, and then you have the Texas A&M Notre Dame game in primetime, which is one of the reasons why Georgia Clemson neutral site is at noon.
I just want to congratulate you on your personal growth. You actually said you're right, so that's just not something I hear very often on here.
Well, it's
Well,
I'll tell you
like
this.
Like Fonzie trying to say he's wrong.
If you would be right more often, I could tell you you're right more often.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean. Well, the Braves pulled out the brooms in Minneapolis. Now this could be a season-defining series starting tonight in Philadelphia. As they're up there for the first of four games, we'll get into that, and also we'll go in the huddle. All that and more next on The Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 1990 Game.
Good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Morning. Yeah! Back to more of the Morning Shift
with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Morning Shift. Triple in for Tiffany. I'll be back tomorrow as well for my favorite day of the week, which is Fair Foul Friday.
Yay!
Yes. Real weird start time tonight for the Braves in Philadelphia. 6:40 first pitch, Charlie Morton on the mound for the Braves as they come off a sweep of the Twins. Braves now just 5 games back in the division. They are 4 games up on the Mets for the final wild card and just 2 behind San Diego. Russell Wilson named the starter for the Steelers. Taylor Heinicke traded to the Los Angeles Chargers for a conditional 6th-round pick. And now let's go in the huddle.
It's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close! Bring it in close!
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings.
Within the huddle on the Morning Shift.
All right, Falcons have populated their practice squad with 13 players as it currently stands, gentlemen. Are they going to bring in another quarterback? That's the question. Will another quarterback be brought in?
Well, I think can we take it a step further? We know another quarterback be brought in, right? Do you want a third guy to take reps? Will the quarterback be on the active roster or the practice squad? Because with the trade of Heinicke, you've opened up an active roster spot.
Is that a week-by-week thing, though, depending on the needs of the team, since you can do that? I might want an extra.
I still don't understand the cap. Maybe you can open that up a little bit, Bo. I still don't understand the caveats around the new rules and the adjustments to the
rules. Are you talking about the emergency quarterback?
Right. Yeah, the emergency
quarterback. So the emergency quarterback.
Well, that's the 49th guy that can dress.
Well, not if he's on your practice squad. If he's on your practice squad, then he is an act. Then he has to be one of the 48 that you have.
Yeah, active. That's right.
But so is that, and they had went away from that rule, but the NFLPA came back and they voted against it and said, look, you're not going to stash players that should be on your active roster and not pay them an active roster salary and get away with it and have them active every week essentially without being active. And I understand that. I think it is a positive for players as a whole. And a detriment for players on teams that are good that maybe could, you know, use it, take advantage of that situation as far as winning if they needed that position. But so basically, yeah, it would be a week by week thing if you thought, like, let's say Kirk Cousins was banged up. Let's just say he was banged up, right? And he's nursing we don't want to say an ankle, anything, right? So nursing a shoulder
bruised ribs.
Yeah, bruised ribs. Then you would bring up that third, if he was on your guy was on your practice squad, you would bring him up to the active roster that day, and you would just play with 3 quarterbacks on the active, fit a 48, and you would lose a spot somewhere. So you might go with a 1 less offensive lineman or something.
Yeah.
So that's why you would just keep him on the, because you get an extra spot on that roster, and that's what it's about, is having as many spots as you can use in a week-to-week basis that can help you win games.
This rule was very similar when I was playing, because I do remember we did have a Harry Douglas package where Harry was the quarterback and, you know.
Yeah, normally, guys, you'll have a wideout or running back as your emergency quarterback.
Yeah, our first couple of years, we had John Parker Wilson was our third string, good buddy of mine from Alabama, and he would, you know, be P-squad or bounce back and forth and be, you know, inactive or active and dressed and things like that, but then all of a sudden it was just Harry Douglas, and we just rolled with 2. So it's kind of interesting to see how that whole ordeal has come about.
All right, gentlemen, since CeeDee Lamb got paid, does that mean it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that Dak's going to finally get paid?
No.
I think it might be the opposite.
Sorry, I didn't pinch poke, give me a coke. I think Micah Parsons gets paid, and they go somewhere else for the quarterback. I don't think Dak's getting his money, and I think
he would have gotten it by now if they really wanted to.
You don't. Whenever it's kind of like the rule with it's kind of like Freddie Freeman, Dansby Swanson, yeah. Max Fried. You know they're not gonna. You know Max Fried won't be here for the Braves next year because you if you were gonna do that deal, you'd have come to some kind of agreement already because the price is only going up, especially right. When he hits the open market. Dak's going to get reset because there are plenty of quarterback teams, needy teams out there. And I don't know. There could be a number
Dak's
of places.
I think Dak's a top 10, top 12 quarterback.
Hell yes, Dak's a top 10 quarterback. If you don't think Dak's a top 10 quarterback, you're ignorant. Because I'm not going to call you anything else. I'm not calling you a bad word, but you're it's just ignorance of you don't know what one looks like then. That's the only thing I can say. He has been phenomenally good for most of his, all of his career that he's played. And they don't grow on trees.
Yeah. Like you just pointed out, Micah Parsons is still out there. The Cowboys, for all the flack that Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones catch, have been as good or better than anybody in the last 10 years of drafting and developing their own talent.
Yep.
Drafting, developing their own talent. So with that comes a lot of guys that need to get extensions and need to get paid. If they don't think Dak Prescott, if they think he's good, but they don't think he's clutch and don't think he won a Super Bowl, and maybe they can build around that quarterback spot by going to get a rookie, then that's the path they'll choose.
You know what's funny is Dallas fell into an upgrade at quarterback from Tony Romo to Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
And I bet if you went around the league.
What was Dak, a fourth rounder?
Yeah. And he only played because.
You remember Tony Romo's undrafted.
Yeah. And to Mike's point, another example of how Jerry Jones has done a good job, and Stephen Jones and that organization as a whole have done a good job drafting. We're seeing it. It's happening now at the quarterback, a skill position, and an edge, which are three of the more important positions, honestly, and go along with a tackle. And it kind of like, what was it like for a few years ago, maybe 8 years ago, they were having to sign Zach Martin and Tyron Smith and all these offensive Smith. Tackles that they
oh
had.
My God.
What was the center's name?
I can't even remember, but let me just tell you something right now. Tyron Smith as a left tackle was a creative player. Like that was exactly what a left tackle was supposed to look like.
Out of a lab.
Oh my God. He had trouble staying healthy and he's not there anymore. Goodness though, man. He used to be as an offensive lineman, a pleasure to watch that guy when he was young and healthy. Boy, he was elite, elite.
Well, you bring up elite tackles. Trent Williams still hasn't gotten paid. I think the sticking point has to be his age.
Right? Oh, he's my age.
Yeah.
He's 37.
Yeah.
I mean, goodness, speaking of guys doing it at an elite level, he's younger. I mean, he's older than Tyron Smith, and Tyron Smith was in Dallas for 10 years and is no longer there. And yet you look at a guy like Trent Williams, the best of the best, probably a future Hall of Famer and still playing at a very high level, but how much money do you want to give him?
Let me ask you this. As an older O-lineman, you don't have to rely on the fast twitch like you do as an athlete. So as you get older, that's going to go away. You'll lose a step. But doesn't the old man's strength start to come into play now and you can kind of win from the shoulders up? Because you still have
I think you still have
to be able to move your feet, clearly.
Well, I think you. It's not really a question I can answer personally, but I think it does.
How
Tom McClure was that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he raises bulls back home in Louisiana, and he'd be like, yeah, been on the ranch all week. I'm like, yeah, you golly, look at you, dude. Yeah.
But just what advantage does he have from a mental aspect of just knowing and seeing it? I mean, you got to think that plays into it as well, right?
Well, he's also extremely tough. And everybody at that age has had their injury woes. But when you look at the way he is a bully, the way he plays football. I mean, an absolute bully. He does not mind throwing you to the ground and landing on top of you and never even thinking twice about it. So that mental aspect, that's something he's carried throughout his career. He's always been that way going back to his days at Oklahoma. Just an absolute bully. Him and Russell Okung were two of the top tackles in that draft, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Trent Williams just continues to do it at a high level. But look, man, if you got the best running back in the league and you got one of the best wide receivers in Ayuk and one of the best tight ends and one of the best left tackles and one of the best middle linebackers and one of the best
– And one of the best –
Somebody can't – not all of them can get paid as the best at their position.
And you didn't even mention Deebo.
Yeah, because I don't even know where to list the guy. He's like an outside zone wide receiver.
I think Ayuk's a good receiver. I just don't think it makes sense. That's why you drafted a wide receiver in the first round. And I think Trent's to me, I need Trent more than I need Ayuk.
I agree with that.
And I think in Shanahan's offense, he's good enough. If Brock Purdy can drop back and be comfortable in the pocket and go through his progressions and basically run the offense, I'm not Cam Newton him right here, but what I'm saying is if he can run the offense the way it is set up to go, that offense will run. Trent Williams, to me, is a huge part of that. And don't forget, did you mention one of the best edge rushers in the league?
I said best defensive lineman, yeah.
I'm agreeing with you.
What'd you call Kittle the other day? Greg? You call him Greg Kittle?
Yeah, Greg Kittle.
George Kittle is,
I don't know why I call him Greg.
For my money, best tight end in the NFL.
Because he blocks.
I'm a big Terry Kelce guy.
Yeah.
I like Donald Pitts myself.
Listen, Travis Kelce, love him to death. He's just a tall, heavy wide receiver. Let's just be honest. I mean, that's what he is.
He's no Gronk.
Well, the thing that makes Kelce brilliant is
he improvises.
Yes.
He and Russell's chemistry the way he can improvise.
His ability.
Speaking of weird first names, you just said Russell. So
his. Yeah. Is that what we're gonna do? Are we just gonna misname everyone the rest of the show?
Russell Mahomes. Terry Kelce.
We should talk about Michael Sell's performance last night. Dominant.
Well, we can do that. Well, it's coming up and mic'd up.
I did a man so dirty this morning gas station over breakfast that I don't think I'll ever be able to live it down. If he's out there listening, dude, I am so sorry. Your apology is coming up next, man. I promise. One of the most shameful things I've ever done.
Dylond Up is next.
Yeah.
The Morning Shift Sports Radio 99 a game.
92.9 The Game.
Hit today. Spencer Arrighetti took a no-hitter into the ninth. Excuse me, eighth. That is deep out to left center field. It keeps going, and it is gone. Into the bullpen. Off the bat of Jorge Soler. Atlanta with the early lead.
Well, he can hit the ball. Why can't he catch it? Jorge Soler with the...
Golly. Keep the good man. You know what? No, man. Keep the good vibes going. I ain't going to let you do that.
He got such a terrible jump on that ball right field. He can't track it in right field.
Looks like he's moving in slow motion.
Yep.
Well, the same thing goes.
He's like a step slow, his recognition. It's not lack of effort. He's not tracking it.
Who was it that hit the ball that me and you were talking about, Manuel Margot?
Yeah.
Should have had in left field. It was kind of, he jumped and it kind of hit in his glove.
Luke Williams
hit the ball. It kind of goes in his glove, goes out. Now, granted, it's a tough catch, but you look at it and go, eh, major league outfielder, probably 9 times out of 10
should
get
that catch.
Especially when it's in the webbing, you know.
I mean, that ball off of Luke Williams' bat, that big double in, what was that, the seventh inning when the Braves broke the tie. It was like a two-iron/slider. it's going to move in a certain way because he hit it so hard.
Yeah, it just kept coming in, it felt like, on him. And he just got his hands around. That was a weird inning to me because Sell gives up the run. Right, and in the bottom of the sixth, and he's technically still the pitcher of record, and Ozuna is on first, and Olson hits that gapper, and Ozuna starts running, and you see him look, and you see his cheeks fill up, and he blows out a gust of air. And then takes this big breath, and he just starts chugging. He looked like a locomotive.
Yeah, but
coming
the run was called
tracks.
Back, though. There's a flag thrown for delay of game watching him running around the bases.
Dude, you know what it looks like when I watch Ozuna? And granted, I am not fleet of foot. I'm not. I was not built for speed. But I watch Ozuna run the bases, and I swear it looks like he's doing a drill in beach sand. You know, like watching Rocky, where his legs feel like they're moving faster than he's actually going. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not watching him going, God, it looks like he's just supposed to be going faster than he is, yet he's not moving very far with each stride.
But the funny thing was, I don't know if you guys caught this, they pan over to the bullpen. I mean, not the bullpen, but the dugout. And after they got done with all of the Travis Darnot fanning him off because –
He was making fun of Travis for circling the bases on prior night.
Yeah, so. But when they got through all of that nonsense, you know, fun stuff, nonsense, whatever you want to call it, and then he walks by Chris Sale, and Chris Sale stands up and gives him
a hug, man. Yeah,
and he's
man.
Like, hey, yeah, I know what you just did. And that's the thing.
You helped me get a W.
Well, that's the thing that we don't talk about enough is those are two leaders in that clubhouse that you don't talk about enough. And Chris Sale leads – by example, by the way he competes. And guys feed off that. And I'm not saying Ozuna wouldn't have ran that hard for anybody else. That's not what I'm saying.
Yep.
But it's a hell of a lot easier to run through a wall like for a guy like Chris Sale than it is some other people, you know?
Well, let's hear from Snit on his ace left-hander.
It was good. See the, you know, how Chris, you know, finished his outing, get him those runs so he gets that win, man. That's really good because he pitched his rear off. It's kind of, to me, why that guy's a front runner for the Cy Young, because that's not the first time he's done that. I've seen when we won a game 1-0 in San Francisco and he had first and third and nobody out in the first inning and they didn't score, you know. So he's unbelievable when he gets his back to the wall like that, how he, you know, reaches back and can find a way to get out of it. I mean, that's why he's got 15 wins.
Well, he also survived that bases loaded one out in the fourth inning as well.
Yeah, the only sad part about watching him last night is understanding that he won't be part of the Phillies series because you wish you had him right to kind of square up with those guys.
And we got Jekyll Hyde, Charlie Morton tonight.
Yeah, and
but you're going to get him no matter what. Would you? I mentioned this yesterday, Rob. I want to get your take real quick before we get to mic'd up. Would you have pushed Sell back? Would you have brought up Ian Anderson for one game against the Twins in a series you've already won? Now, look, every game is important right now. I understand that. But would you have pushed him back a start just to get him, A, an extra day of rest, and B, in the Phillies series?
Maybe. But you've got to have the Phillies number this year, though, big time.
Yeah.
You're 6-3 against them. Your ERA's in the twos, so.
And you got the game anyway. You got a game on them anyway, so it kind of – it proved the importance of that game after what happened to them against the Astros yesterday.
Yeah, you don't ever want to screw anybody like that like I did this fellow this morning.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up.
On the Morning Shift.
Brought to you by the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event.
My friend, if you were at the gas station this morning up on Roswell Road, I am so sorry.
Oh, no.
For the encounter we had this morning. You probably don't even realize what happened. You're probably asleep right now, my friend, because of what you were going through. So follow me here as we go through my morning. Because as soon as this happened, and I got back in my truck and I started head to work, and we're talking about 4:30 a.m. this morning, I was like, man, I have such a heavy conscience, such a guilt on what is happening. All right, so I wake up this morning, got a leftover biscuit in the fridge. I'm like, man, that thing is on top. We talked about high school breakfast this morning, Rob. Grab what you want to on the way out the door and eat it on the way to work. All right, so that was my plan. All right, I needed to stop and get some coffee, as I do every morning, at the local gas station up on the corner. I like to get it. It wakes me up to walk in there every morning and get a cup of coffee. So as I'm headed to the local gas station, take a bite of my biscuit, extremely cold, to the point where it was like almost just one step below freezing. All right.
A hockey puck.
So I walk in. I'm like, you know what? Man, I'm going to take the biscuit in here, and I'm going to use one of these gas station microwaves. I got a couple of microwaves that sit on the counter. I was like, I'm going to warm my biscuit up, which I never do. All right? It's not something that I ever, you know, ever go about. So I'm like, I'm going to warm my breakfast up here in this microwave. Well, I walk in. I open the first microwave, and there's a cup of ramen in it. And I was like, oh, somebody left the ramen in here, right? So then I close that one, and I go on to the second microwave, and I open it up, right? I'm throwing my biscuit in there. I'm like, let me get this thing, you know, kind of heated up as I go about my morning. I throw it on, like, you know, 20 seconds. I'm like, whatever. I'm just going to let this thing hum for a minute. Oh, yeah, I forgot my water bottle, right? You guys see me hit my water bottle right here on the countertop, right? So I was like, oh, man, let me jog over there and get it. As I'm jogging to get the water bottle, this young man comes out of the bathroom in the back.
Oh, no.
All right? Now, he has an odor that we would all pick up. All right? We would all pick up on. He has this odor coming off
of him. Not one of those
people. I think he had shades on, right, you know, at this point. And I think he also was about to buy some Black & Milds behind the counter. That's a story for another day. But he was obviously quite excited about his ramen, right? So as I'm getting my water bottle, here's what I hear.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Something ain't right.
So this man's looking at his cup of ramen in this other microwave, and he's like, man, somebody hit the pause button.
Hold up.
I'm a microwave.
Wait a minute.
Aww.
Right? So I walk past him. I'm like, hey, excuse me, man, to get to my biscuit in the other microwave, and he's just staring at me like, man, what happened? I don't know what's going on here. I'm just walking about my business. I'm like,
man, you screwed his whole morning up.
I go up to the counter. I can still feel him looking at me, man. He's like stirring heavily, Dude, he's heavily stirring.
Right.
He is quite clearly in another zip code mentally right now because he is like, dude, I was so excited about this ramen. I'm paying for my water bottle. I got my warm biscuit and my cup of coffee, man. And I'm about to walk out a happy man. And I look back at this guy with the utter state of depression his face.
Wait a minute.
Over the fact that he went up to this gas station. Had to obviously, you know, go to the restroom for just a minute, but left this ramen, just thought it was going to cook, And at one point on my way out, I noticed that there was still a minute 20 left on the microwave that I accidentally opened and closed.
Did you not know that it was running?
No, I didn't know it was running.
How do you not know a microwave's running?
There's loud music playing in this gas. I can't even explain.
The light wasn't on the microwave?
It's on the counter. You haven't had your coffee yet.
Yeah, I hadn't had my coffee yet. I'm barely awake. This dude.
You're in the wrong.
If you're out there, man. If you're out there, I just want to open up a sincere pathway of apologies. Like I said, you might have went home and gone to sleep, but I can only imagine the frame of mind you're in a gas station. You're trying to get ramen. You got your shades on. You're also buying a Black and Mild, and you were probably so excited at 4:30 a.m. to get that ramen down the hatch. And yet, I threw a curveball in your morning, man.
That's
the and that's
one thing
me.
He wanted on this planet at
he
that
did.
Particular moment.
He did, man.
But that's
I'm
a weird,
so sorry.
It's a weird combo that part of the night. Ramen
yeah,
at 4:30.
Yeah, it really is.
But I'm starting to think that his odor was maybe he went puff, puff, pass in the bathroom. And then that's why the ramen makes sense.
I tried to allude to that. Obviously, maybe didn't get there. You thought the odor was something else.
Yeah, I thought he just stunk.
I can't see.
He had a fog coming off of him, coming out of the bathroom.
I thought he hadn't heard a right guard yet. You know, that's what I was thinking.
He had a certain cloud around him. Get those Black and Milds. He was like, I'm going for round two.
Well, that's when it hit me. He said shades, Black and Milds. I was like, oh, my man went toke in there. That's what happened.
That's what I do. And he was like, ramen, yes. Oh, no. What happened? Oh, man. I'm so sorry, dude.
Well, Zero Res could get that smell out of that bathroom. Smart, lasting, clean. That's what this hour is brought to you by. Zero Res, again, a smart, lasting, clean. 404-726-0929. Who deserves a wake-up call? Who deserves one? Oh, by the way, Russell Wilson, named starter of the Steelers, Taylor Heineke, now a member of the Los Angeles Chargers.
What do you think about those moves?
Well, wake up call is next. Morning Shift Sports Radio, 929 again.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.